So welcome once again. I have to stand because I'm falling asleep. We remember that God the Father told St. Catherine about suffering, that suffering has to come with intention to offer up our suffering, the desire to love God, the desire to make up for sin, and also our charity, our love is always expressed by how we treat other people. When we love, we treat other people, you know, with charity. We do good to them. And then when we ourselves lacking charity, we also deprive of the supernatural help that we can give to our neighbor. And then also, God the Father mentioned about, you know, the in order to practice charity, we need the three virtues. Huh? The three virtues, they are like the three sisters. You know, they have the tree is like our soul, and then the root is charity. Charity, yeah. And then a three sister, yeah. One of the sisters can be charity. And then the soil is humility, and it's the soil is within the circle of discretion. Or discernment. So discretion, you know, so whatever we do have to within that discernment. And then when we discernment or discretion is about knowing God and knowing ourselves. So we know what tenets that we can take, you know, what is the appropriate thing to do. We won't see doing penance as such as our goal, but actually practicing virtues is our goal, for example. Discretion would tell us, you know, to give glory to God, you know, to acknowledge our own failures. Discretion would tell us, you know, that we have to love God, you know, not with lip service, but actually put faith into practice. People who just tell God, I want to serve you, but not doing thing, you know, is not serving God properly. People just focus on doing penance for the body, but neglect to conform the will to the will of God. It's not serving God properly. And then also discretion will tell us that we cannot sin in order to do good. We cannot help a finite creature by offending the infinite being. You know, we shouldn't sin to achieve anything good. So those three virtues really important, you know, that within the circle of discretion, we have the root of charity in the soil of humility. And then also God the Father loved to use that image, which also linked to the tree is the vineyard, you know, that we all have our own vineyard to look after. And the knife that we have is from baptism, the knife of, you know, hating sin, but, you know, love for virtue. And you use that knife to uproot the thorns of deadly sin in our own hearts, but also to plant virtues. And God the Father complained about sinners who, you know, basically despise the blood of Christ, receive communion not properly, so that the blood of Christ actually, by receiving, brought them harm instead of blessing, because they don't receive properly, and they cannot blame on the blood of Christ or blame on the minister, but themselves. And so God the Father complained the people, they uproot the seed of grace that they received in baptism from their vineyard and put it and give it to the beasts, you know, to their different kind of sin. And so that's something that they should not be doing. But and also our own vineyard and other people, they have no dividing line. It's like your garden, no dividing line, you know. So whatever we do with our own vineyard is also helping other people. Whatever we do bad is also harmful to other people. And so at the end, last time I point out that image of the Immaculate Heart, that thinking about the Immaculate Heart, it's like that the best vineyard ever, you know, with the burning love of God, you know, but also surrounded by the thorns of sin, of, you know, the call for reparation for sin, and that image of the Immaculate Heart when she appeared in Fatima, when she appeared to Lucia. So that's the nutshell of last time presentation. Remember that? So that we call the memory. So, and then the image continue, you know, talking about, you know, the plant, the tree. Now, another prominent image of the dialogue is about bridge, you know. that Jesus is the bridge that leads to heaven. The road to heaven is broken by the disobedience of Adam. And so Jesus is the bridge that links earth, humanity, to heaven, divinity. And then also this bridge is built with solid stone. The stones is the solid virtues. And then it's also talking about, the stone, and also there's a cover us, the shield of the mercy of God, that cover us from the rain of the justice of God. And then also you're talking about the image of, it's like the bridge also have a hostel, that you can have bread there, because it's the church that give us sustenance, that when we walk, we have strength, we won't be fainted, you know. So, and then at the end of the bridge, it's a gate, and this the only way that gate lead to heaven. So, when we walk on that bridge, which is Christ himself, we are walking on the way of the truth. And, you know, and that bridge is being built in or a star bridge, I forgot the exact word, in his passion, but also raised up in his ascension, that link to heaven, to go to heaven. But also, you know, of course, you know, the bridge beneath that is the water, right? It's the river that always flowing. So God the Father lament, you know, he lament about sinners, right, doing bad, not properly looking after their own hearts, you know. So he talked about the sinner. On the one hand, you got people who go through the bridge of Christ, on the way of truth. On the other hand, there are people who go through just the water. And those are the people who put their affection mainly on creatures, on created things, but not on God himself. And then God the Father talking about creatures, they are passing, you know. They are not stable. And so those who follow, who put their affection on creatures, are also being carried away by the water. They themselves are not stable. Even though they think they are the one that are stable, and the other thing are not stable, but in fact they are not stable. They are not, they're just being led by the water to their destiny, death, the final point of the journey. And then after that will be eternal punishment. So it's talking about, you know, and then people who are being carried away by the water of material things, of creatures, they want to hang on to material things. But God said to St. Catherine, they cannot do that. One of the two reasons. One, first one, death. When they die, they have to let go of everything. Or second, by the decree of God, the thing is taken away from them. They lost the thing. So in no way people can hold on to the material things forever. One way or another, they have to let them go eventually. So to follow the role of the river, the water, you know, to put their affection on creatures but not on God, to let creatures lead them away from God, you know, is the way of the falsehood. To follow the bridge is the way of truth. And the falsehood will become like the children of the devil, because the devil is the father of lies. So God the Father using that image, strong, you know, telling people, you know, you cannot put your affection, your love into material thing, into creatures, because into creatures is unstable, but we have to put our affection on God, you know, walk on the way of truth. But also, you know, another image that God the Father mentioned, or another little detail, also think about that way of truth is also our spiritual life. Because God the Father mentioned there are three, the three, I want to see the exact wording, is talking about the three stairs that lead up, the bridge have three stairs. The first stair is the soul lifts the feet of affection from earth and strip oneself of sin. So that's the first stair. And second stair is the soul dresses oneself in love for virtue. And the third one, the soul tastes peace. And so that God the Father telling St. Catherine that for us human beings, we reach the third stair by climbing the first two. So that, you know, correspond, many spiritual writers point out the three stages of the spiritual life. Because quite often the spiritual life, the first stage is called the purgative, you know, it's the purifying. You know, and God the Father said, you know, lift the feet of affections from the earth and strip oneself of sin. So you try to be detached from worldly thing and get rid of sin, you know, to purify, get rid of sin, you know, to fight temptation. That's purgative. That's the first stage of the spiritual life. You have to purify yourself. And then numerative way, the second stage is basically the focus is, you know, dresses oneself in love for virtue. Quite often that about practicing virtues. That's the second stage in the spiritual life. And the third stage, you know, unitive, you know, taste is peace, to be united with God, you know, have that peace. And a lot of time, you know, when people in the beginning, people will talk about the spiritual reading, quite often have to do with how to fight temptation, huh? How to make good confession, of course. How to start a spiritual life, to have regular prayer life, to be more detached from the world, or watch less television, less computer, so spend more time in prayer, you know, spend more time in spiritual reading, and stuff like that. And then in the numerative way, the second stage is about practicing virtue. So you want to more in-depth study of the lives of the saints, you know, about different virtues and how to put them into practice. And then also, you know, the unitive way, you know, we're thinking about the different mystical experience you have reading like St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, that actually describe the different stages of prayer that you come close to God in contemplation. So there's three stages of the spiritual life. Now, when thinking about the bridge, that also remind me of a saint. You know, actually, in the history of the church, there is a little Benedict, the bridge builder. He was from quite a while ago. He died at the year 1184. 1184. That's the year when he died. So he was a young teenage boy. There was a river, you know, in the old days, sometimes to build a bridge for pilgrims is something that's sponsored by rich people, wealthy people. So this particular young saint, he, one day, there was the eclipse of the sun. It was dark. And in that darkness, he heard a voice address him three times out of darkness and go to Avalon and build a bridge over the river. And the river was pretty fast, you know, so people can be drowned, you know, people can get into accident. So he want to do that, you know. In those days, you know, it was the 12th century. To building bridges, repair bridges, is regarded as a work of mercy. It's usually rich people like Tony, you know, who sponsor those projects, you know. So it's a work of mercy. And then also, rich people also often urge to make provision in their wills. So if you make your will, you can leave money to build a bridge, you know, to help people on the face of the river. So Benedict was ignorant. He was undersized youth, you know, and he had no experience, no influence, no money. But he would not hesitate to obey the call, you know, the voice that three times asked him to build the bridge. And then the bishop at first was reluctant when he went to Avalon. You know, the bishop was reluctant, but, you know, when he proved to the bishop that he was really from God by making miracles, the bishop finally let him do the work to build. So the work began in the year 1177, 1177. And he lived for 7 more years, the Yan Singh. And he directed the operation. He died in the year 1184. And so, of the main difficulties of the building project is overcome already. And so the body was buried upon the bridge itself. But the bridge was not complete until 4 years later. 4 more years to go. So, you know, from the time when they laid the foundation, miracles happen, amazing things happen. And also miracles happen after, his death. After his death in, at his tomb, miracles continue to happen. And so they built a chapel on the bridge, and he was buried there for around 500 years. Later on, in the year 1669, when part of the bridge was being washed away by water, you know, they rescued the coffin. And so the next year, they opened the coffin, and they find his body was incorrupt. And so it was transferred into a monastery in a church, and so it was buried there. So it was a little thing, you know, it's called the Little Benedict, the bridge builder, which is actually in history of the church, they actually somebody who built a bridge who became a saint, you know. So it's in the 12th century. Just for your information, we talk about the image of Saint Catherine. Saint Catherine came later, you know. Saint Catherine was in the 14th century, but this is the 12th century. So there was a bridge builder who became a saint. Now, and God the Father continued that image. You know, people who choose to travel beneath the bridge through the water by placing their affection on creatures. And people who, you know, in mortal sin, in deadly sin, they become the tree of death. And so, and the tree of death have four kind of death-dealing fruits. You know, lust, greed, you know, and also false judgment and injustice. So talking about lust, you know, God the Father say, you know, the ugly soul, you know, where have you left your dignity? You were mixed sister to the angels, but now they have become like beasts. And then also, God the Father also mentioned that, you know, the devil, because the devil actually a fallen angel, right? The devil have angelic nature. And so even the devil themselves, when they see human being doing lustful thing, they feel disgust about that. So the devil will tempt people to do a lustful thing, to sin against the sixth commandment. But when the people actually doing that, the fallen angel themselves, the devil themselves, don't dare to look at, don't want to see that. Because they themselves will feel that it's so disgusting. Because human being would downgrade themselves into the level of beasts, into animals. And so, and God the Father also say, no, not a sin, you know, darken the human mind so much as the sin of lust. And then talking about avarice, you know, greed, God the Father mentioned about all kinds of other sin come because of greed, you know, people killing, people stealing, you know, unlawful gain, cruelty apart, injustice, all kinds of sin would come because of greed. And then this sin and pride, they just, they link together. You know, greed comes from pride, and they feed pride. I think I mentioned that at Mass. You know, I talk about that. You know, there are some sin, they are sin of the flesh, like lust, or even gluttony. You know, sin of the flesh. But also we have the sin of the spirit, the sin that feed our pride. And greed is a sin that feeds our pride. And people want to accumulate material thing. It's not so much for the material thing, but for the satisfaction, or that you feel superior when you have the material thing. So it's a sin that actually feed our pride. Thank you. And so that's greed. And then Jesus mentioned in the Last Supper, I will send the advocate who will reprove the world for its injustice and false judgment. So reproof. God the Father mentioned to St. Catherine there are three kinds of reproof, you know, that God gives to sinner. The first one is the teaching of the apostles, the disciples and their descendants in the following of the truth. So, you know, the witness of the church is the first reproof for sinner. Tell them to convert, to come back. The second reproof is death. And the third reproof is the final judgment on the last day. More details about death and final judgment in our next meeting. But I just want you to know that there are three reproofs, you know, mentioned by God the Father. And then I just want to focus on the second reproof a little bit. It's about death. So, quite often when people commit sin, they, you know, even though they have the voice of conscience, the warmth of conscience in their heart, but because they are blinded up by self-love, they didn't hear. They want to neglect the voice of their conscience. But you know, when death is coming, then the soul find out they cannot get out from the hands of God, then, you know, the voice of conscience become more clear now. They could actually feel the voice of conscience more clear. Now, and of course, you know, if they, you know, grieve for their sin, not so much because of the pain of hell, but because the sin really offend God, then they can still find mercy, you know, that perfect act of contrition. And then God the Father pointed out that the worst sin at that time would be the sin of despair. You know, the sin of refusing and scorning the mercy of God. And then God the Father said that this kind of sin, you know, to refuse the mercy of God offends him more than all the other sins the sinners have committed. So God the Father said, you know, because of that, the despair of Judas displeased me more and was more grave to my son than was his betrayal of him. And then so, you know, because, you know, if they refuse the mercy of God, that is the false judgment. The false judgment that they think their sin is greater than the mercy of God. That's a false judgment. But also it's an injustice because they would grieve more over their condemnation than they, you know, over the displeasure of God. You know, they would grieve more about their own condemnation, their own suffering, than about that sin offend God. And so that, you know, when thinking about those four death-dealing fruits from the tree of death, you know, one is about lust, the other is avarice, you know, greed, and the third one, injustice, and then false judgment. So when the sinner focus on themselves, you know, when they see their sin as greater than the mercy of God, that's a false judgment. When the sinner, they focus on themselves, they lament about their own condition, rather than to focus on God, you know, that sin offend God, that they have to make reparation to God, that also injustice. So next time when we meet, we talk about, you know, God the Father have the description about the last things, because of the three reproof. The second and third is about death and final judgment, basically about particular judgment and general judgment. And so God the Father do have quite a bit of thing to talk about what we call the four last things. What are the four last things? Death, judgment, what else? Heaven and hell. So those are the four last things. So we'll something more to come, you know, about the four last things, you know, next time when we meet. Any questions?